Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wind kills. That's it. That's the tweet.
It is indeed. Ah, the Charles Schwab voice. I could listen to him narrating the Nuremberg trials.
I forgot to roll up my car windows last night and then it rained. Can I get a break? Anybody, please?
Nope. Prices are indeed going up, Sarah. Maybe it's time I start taking my CVS coupon scrolls more seriously.
As well you should. Have such a good day. World, welcome back to Have Such a Good Day, the show that wants you to do
just that.
What up, Heather Frank?
What up, Sarah Lee? We're back. We're back in the saddle again.
Yeah, we are.
And again and again.
Yeah.
We fall off the saddle and then we get back in the saddle. That's just
week after
how it goes.
Week. Week after week. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the show that unpacks the absurdity of everyday life for your entertainment. Welcome, everyone. Old patrons, new patrons, all the aliens of the universe.
Indeed. Whether you consider yourself an alien or not, we are so glad to have you. And yeah, it's been a rock rolling week over here, Heather.
Quite literally.
Truly. I don't even know really how to describe it, except that So yesterday when I was doing DTNS, which is another one of my podcasts, I kept looking out the window because there's a window in my garage, even though I'm, you know, kind of in the cave here, but there's a window and I was like, ooh, gosh, the wind seems to be really picking up. I'm glad Otis is in here with me, et cetera, et cetera. And when I went outside, it was like mayhem. I mean, like very large branches that would kill a person were like in the driveway, you know, kind of on the driveway gate. It's just, I don't know.
Like you could get impaled by a branch.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, to the point where like when it's windy like that, I don't go outside.
Cause, yeah,
like,
you don't want to walk like, in the
I'm
forest
not,
or anything.
Yeah, I'm not trying to, you know, die out here. But yeah, it was quite dramatic. And everything is okay today, but still, like, even this morning, I was like moving large, scary branches out of the way of my car so that I could get out.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it was like that up here, too. There was a lot of detritus on the road, on our main road. I wasn't here all week, but my boyfriend did tell me that it was crazy windy.
Detritus mean?
Detritus, just like stuff all over, like,
oh, okay,
yeah, detritus, like tree detritus, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, I was like, so did you go on any walks this week? And he's a total avid walker. He's like, oh hell no, it was so windy. And I'm like, it was that windy that you didn't go on a walk? And
scary.
I mean, I must have missed it 100% because when I went to LA, there was no wind. And I heard about all the wind everywhere else. And now I'm hearing about the wind back down there and I'm up here and it's not windy anymore. So I don't know.
Well, so do you want to talk about your fun LA trip?
Yes, indeed. I had a great time. I had a really wonderful week. It was exactly what I wanted. What was funny because I had several intentions. One of my intentions was to thaw out, you know, because I live in the Pacific Northwest and I really wanted some warm weather. I was just like looking for like a warm 75 degrees. you know, warm breeze, that kind of thing. But boy, did I thaw out. And then some. It was like 98 degrees one day, 95 another day. It was hot. It was too hot.
It was hot. Yeah.
It was definitely too hot, especially when I took Ubers that didn't want to put their AC on and they expected you to wear a face mask in the Uber. I mean, I can't breathe. I mean, that's a pretty intense experience. But I mostly had Ubers that had AC, thankfully, just the one that I get it. It's gas prices are really high right now. I didn't fault them for it. But another reason was to kind of get some restaurant variety, you know, eat some different food and see some of my friends and that kind of thing, go to maybe hit some museums. It was just sort of a week of fun. And I specifically would like to talk to you about this new friend I have. I like to call him Magic Mike. And so here's the deal. So I wouldn't say it's like a house swapping situation, but I have a new friend that I met about the time that my dad left us, like in 2021, early in the year. And it was kind of one of those weird sort of kismet sort of things where you meet someone, because he's older, this Mike friend of mine, he's just turned 65, so he's an older guy. And I don't even know if I have a lot of like older friends like that, but he stayed at our property, stayed at one of our cabins. We became, you know, we chatted. He was really cool. He actually reminded me a lot of my dad, and he's just a very friendly guy. He's really kind of worldly and funny and just this jovial guy. So he kind of entered my life when someone else left, and it was just this kind of trippy little thing. And yeah, so he's been coming back and forth to Trinidad, where I live, because he loves it. But he's been in LA for, you know, 20, 30 years. And he has been trying to find property up here. And he's just been very generous. And, you know, he's like, come down, stay with us. They have a big house in the hills in Hollywood. And I've stayed down there before. I've talked about this a little bit on the show. But this time he was there, because the last time I was there, he was out of town. And I was just kind of house-sitting, I guess. They don't really expect you to do much, just to put the alarm on. But this time he was actually there. His wife, who is a friend of mine now, was there for a day until she took off to Costa Rica. So I got to actually hang out with her a little bit. But what was so special, and trust me, I mean, I had a kind of a rocking good time with my friends and had some amazing experiences. But the one that I felt was really worthy of talking about is he is a guy of routine. And don't worry, Mike, I'm not going to blow up your spot, but he's kind of nestled up in the hills a little bit, and kind of in like the beautiful areas that you're like, wow, people live like this.
Yeah. You know, Hollywood I would not say Hills.
Hollywood Hills. I wouldn't say, yeah, he does not have an ostentatious house. It's kind of old Hollywood. It's really cool. He has a beautiful, I mean, almost, you know, gosh, I mean, it was a 180 degree view of the city. It's incredible. So I'm like, I got the top floor and it's perfect. It's sort of my home away from home, or it's kind of become that way, because I'm going to be going down there more often going forward. But one of the highlights, as I was saying, is every day he takes these morning hikes, and he does it around the same time. Like I said, he's a man of routine. And we go downstairs together. He offers me a big hat, and then he offers me a bottle of water. Would you like Evian, Smart Water, or Arrowhead? I say Smart Water, and then we're off. It's just this fun little ride that I go on with him. And apparently he's been doing this for 15 years. He walks around the neighborhood picking up garbage. He has the same route. You know, he's got his big sombrero. Friendliest guy on earth, knows everybody. He's a local celebrity. Apparently there's some license plate dedicated to him. I'll have to get back to you on that. I don't know all the details, but yeah. I got to walk with him on his route, his like paper route, you know, and he's got his, you know, his gear and he's got these like high end dog treats that he gets in bulk. They're like really fancy dog treats, seriously, because he brings them up for Frank the dog when he comes up to visit. And you walk around for an hour with him. And, you know, you go through the neighborhoods and stuff, and there's people walking their dogs, and there's people getting in their car, and there's people getting their kids ready to go to school. And there's just like, there's stuff happening in the street, and he knows everybody, and everyone loves Mike, and everyone's like, knows he's coming, sees him coming. The dogs see him coming. They smell him coming. Aww. And he knows all the names of all the dogs. I mean, I'm telling you, I felt like I was in some reality show that I would like watch, you know, like I felt like I was along this for this ride, you know, of his like daily purpose, you know, and legit, he's like known for this in his neighborhood. And he has, you know, he has rubber gloves on. He's cleaning up the garbage and he's telling me about the different garbage he finds. And, you know, I'm like, well, what is the weirdest thing you found? And, you know, what is the, you know, I'm asking him questions.
What is the weirdest thing he's found?
Some was like some kind of drug paraphernalia I won't get into, but okay. He finds a lot of plastic water bottles, obviously a lot of cigarette butts. You know, he'll find, like, he talks specifically about like a type of screw. It's like a flat something screw that those are the ones that get in your tires, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, I know about those. And you know, he talked about some kind of stuff that I would never have like even thought about. But Sarah, I can't even explain to you. I mean, this was such a highlight. I walked with him on the first day and I was always curious because I knew he did it in Trinidad. So when he comes to visit here, he goes for a long walk around my neighborhood and picks up garbage. Uh-huh. And I always knew this about him. And I thought, do you mind if I walk with you? And he was like, totally happy to have me go along. And every single day I was like, I got up early. I had my coffee. Also, he made me coffee every morning. And I gotta say, I felt like a celebrity. I mean, so he's tucked away in the hills. So it's like, I like a cappuccino in the morning. I like a double shot, frothy milk. I'm kind of spoiled. I make it at home. And so it's always a bit of a dilemma when I stay there because there isn't really a coffee shop that you can walk to that's super convenient.
Yeah.
I actually didn't have a car on this trip, which I probably won't do again. I don't want to be, it limited me a little bit. You know, mm-hmm. it was nice to just jump in an Uber, but it was a little more limiting than I would have liked. And he had this sort of, I know this is crazy. This is crazy talk. I can't believe I'm saying this. Okay. Hear me out. It was an instant coffee, but not like Folgers or some like cheapy whatever.
Love instant coffees. Like, why are you like that?
No, I'm just crazy. Saying I just don't like it. But he had this one that was in, it was an Israeli coffee called like Elite something. I don't remember what the name is, but I loved it. It had a nutty flavor and I was so into it. I'm like, I don't need my cappuccino. Like, I'm literally going to buy some of this shit and make it when I'm like, I don't feel like making a cappuccino. Anyway, he made me coffee every morning. It was a whole thing. I had a really grand old time. And I'm home and I've already bought a ticket to go back down just because it's like my second life. I'm crafting my, I've talked about this on the show before, that I always wanted a pied-à-terre, you know, somewhere. And I kind of feel like I have it. And he's just like wants me to be there as much as possible. And it's pretty great. I feel like really lucky. So there you have it.
Well, Heather, I love this for you. I'm like, here I am wasting away in the windy.
Oh, come on. Redwood. You can come with me. He loves it. Like, the more the merrier. Place. Bring all your friends.
No, seriously. No. And we will. We will. But no, that sounds so great. I'm so glad you had a good time and you know, making new friends.
Yeah, man. And I think you can, it just goes to show you that you can make new friends at any stage of life. But I will say that
you sure can. That's
the getting on the plane thing is definitely, I feel like it's a muscle. It's like, you know, you got to flex it to, I felt like the way down was pretty easy, smooth. I mean, it's a short flight. But the way back, it was like there, you know, Burbank Airport was weirdly packed and they like kept switching gates and it was a bit chaotic. And we sat on the tarmac and I was kind of like, in my mind, I'm like, if we don't roll out soon, I am going to open the door and let myself out. And you know, just, you get like this like, claustrophobia.
Yeah, no, I've been there where I'm like, I will hack myself out of this window.
Yeah, just totally. Like
jump onto the tarmac and run away. That's how much I don't
care how
be
risky
on this
it is. Exactly. it's like this lack of control that I feel. And I talked to Mike about this actually, cause he's at that age where, you know, he books these trips and then kind of backs out on them at the last minute because he gets this real fear. I mean, there's a whole thing. Trust me, his wife has talked to me about it. It's like this whole thing where they book these trips. She loves traveling and he does too in theory, but he gets he worries about all the things he can't control and it kind of takes him over. And I understand that on some level. I'm not that bad, but I do get it.
I get restless legs. on flights. And it actually, like to the point sometimes where I'm like, this is not good. I cannot do this.
You need to wear 11 compression hours. Socks.
Yeah.
You'll be that girl.
It's anxiety. That's what it is.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But when I was a little kid, my dad, who was in the Vietnam War, had a deep fear of planes. And elevators and all things that
because
make you feel claustrophobic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it was attributed to.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, when I was a kid, it's like we lived in California. We would go to Mexico because you can drive there. Dad doesn't have to get on a plane. And then there was always the whole sort of talk of maybe we'll go to Hawaii. And everyone was like, but is Dad going to get on a plane? No, we never once did that. We went to Mexico 100 times. But
wow, never you drove from Sebastopol?
Well, my mom and I would fly to San Diego and my dad would drive and then he would meet us there and then we would go across the border.
Wow, cool.
I know, yeah. I mean, cool, but also
also not cool.
It was something that I knew quite well, as a young child that Dad can't get on a plane and he also can't get in an elevator. You know, and there are a lot of other things that he just can't fucking do.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure some of you out there would understand that. It was always hard for me as a little kid, but I think I get it now.
Yeah, I really hope that I don't go down that path because, I'm like you. We both love an adventure. I kind of prefer just jumping in the car if I can, but I don't have serious anxiety traveling. I don't. I think it's, the older we get, the more I'm more meticulous with my packing. You know, I want to make sure I'm not taking too much, but I need to make sure I have the things that I need, you know? And so it's just when I was younger, I would just throw a couple things in a bag and it was no big deal. And I didn't even think about it. It was just kind of whatever. And now you have to just be so diligent with your Ziploc bag and your liquids. And there's a lot to think about when you travel. There really is a lot more these days, I think. And I think that's part of it too. It's not as simple as it was. Nothing is.
Indeed. Well, on the travel front, I had a real nice dinner with a couple of friends of mine who are on the West Coast now, but have a house in New York City, in Manhattan. And, we were kind of just, chopping it up about, how great New York is and all the things. Mm-hmm. That was last night. So I woke up this morning and I heard about the subway issue, which, you probably have already heard about it, but if you haven't, somebody tried to kill a bunch of people on the subway this morning. Mm-hmm. And it really hit me. And in a weird way, I have never lived in New York. I am not a New Yorker. I wouldn't never pretend to be one. Mm-hmm. But I love the city. I've spent a lot of time there, for work and play. Mm-hmm. And it really hit me hard this morning. And, this was the absolute first thing I did when I woke up this morning was oh, what is this news? Turn on CNN, the whole thing. And as of this recording, I'm sure a lot of things will come to light that weren't, when I was kind of digesting this at 7 a.m. in the morning. But it really kind of rocked me. And I think that it doesn't matter where you live. Where you live does not make a tragedy any greater or smaller. Mm-hmm. That's not, what I'm going for here. But there is something about living in, one of the world's most beloved places. and where people are packed in like sardines, and terrible things happen. That it really shook me. It shook me.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I mean, I remember taking that line in Brooklyn, and I mean, I lived there for a short period, but I did take that line a lot because I did go to Brooklyn quite a bit from Manhattan, and it's so close to home. It's like you've had so many experiences there. Like, I guess it's harder to relate to like a war that's really far away in a country that you haven't been, you know, and it's harder, I guess, to... It's really staggering and awful, but I think because it's so close to home, you know?
That's a good point. And I'm trying to like kind of, I don't know, come to terms with like, you know, like the nationalism of it all. Like, why do I care about something that happens closer to me than something that happens farther away? And I really don't. I really don't. But yeah, it was tough stuff. And
I think part of it is, I know for me, you know, we talked about this a few episodes back where I had some friends who were, you know, talking about going to a music festival in Las Vegas. And the first thing I thought of was like that, you know, terrible shooting they had at the, and like, I think it's like everyday activities, people are dying. Like you walk to, I mean, this isn't anything totally new. I mean, you walk to a store or a liquor store and this happens in certain areas of the world. It's not like it's new, but it is happening more often in, you know, such your daily routine spots, you know? I mean, the fact that it's like people on their way to work and they've been home and sequestered for the last 2 years and now they're finally getting back out there on the, on the subway commuting, and it's during their commute. I mean, it's not just close to home. It's so like your daily quotidien. What's the word? I mean, in French it's quotidien. It's like your day-to-day, you know, routine. And I think that's part of it too. It feels too, too easy or something. Like it just, it's so wrong. It's just,
I know. And I, you know, our point is certainly not to bring anybody down who's listening to the show, but it was just, it rocked me a little bit today. And this is not to say that other issues like this don't do the same, but I'm trying to like put it into words. Like, I think that if something happens in a place that I would never go to, don't have to go for work, not going to go for, you know, for fun and pleasure kind of thing, I think like, oh, wow, how tragic, how awful. What can I do? But when it's something that is like, oh yeah, I've been at that subway station. Not, you know, today, but I've been there, you know, that's scary. It, I don't know. It just kind of makes you feel some things.
Well, it also makes you feel like, okay, well, when I walk out the front door, it just makes you feel like anything can happen. You know how they say, it's just like, I mean, we're not trying to be, you know, dark or twisted here, but like you walk out into the world and I mean, a piano is not going to fall out of the sky. That's probably not going to happen. That happens in the cartoons, but
well, like
weird
like
stuff happens all the time.
My wind issue, like yesterday, like, I mean, I was inside, so nothing, you know, struck me in the head, but if it had,
it does happen.
I would probably be a goner.
Well, yeah, not, and like people get hit by like lightning. I mean, freakish things, but this almost feels, this is, okay, maybe part of it is it's not really a freakish thing. Like somebody made the conscious decision to hurt people in a very busy subway station of regular, you know, wonderful human beings. And it's just, it's so hard to wrap your head around it. If any of you all have any insight into this and why it's just so hard to articulate our feelings on this, please email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com.
Yeah, please do. And
and stay safe out there, everyone. That's an order.
Well put, Heather.
Watch for falling branches.
Just stay safe. Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, you don't want a redwood branch to fall on you and kill you.
No,
which is
you
something
don't.
That did not happen to me yesterday, but might have had I been in a slightly different place. Kind of scary.
It's
but,
true that wind kills. It can kill. So be careful out there.
Don't it ever. So what else is going on?
So, Sarah, I want to talk to you about this, and I have been wanting to talk about this for a while, but I had real life on the ground experiences this week with this particular subject matter, and I thought this would be a good time to talk about it. I want to talk about this QR code shit. I went out into the world, as you know, and, you know, it's not that I've never experienced this before, but I ate out every meal except for like breakfast. But I, you know, I made it so that I went to all my favorite restaurants. I booked everything in advance. I just wanted to have that experience. And I mean, QR codes are everywhere. And I know this is not news. They've been around for a long time, but they're really integrated into restaurants now. And I don't like it. I know it's the way of the world and the future, and there's not much I can do about it. It's all everything's going automated. Robots are taking over the world, blah, blah, blah. The thing is, I like technology. I like furthering and evolving with technology. I enjoy a new gadget, a new piece of software that makes life easier. I get it. I get why we're doing it. I just do not like this thing at restaurants. It cheapens the experience. It changes it altogether. I mean, haven't we gone through enough change? Our world has changed so much in the last couple of years. I just can't bear it. I don't want, again, everyday experiences that we're talking about to be cheapened. I enjoy so much. If all else fails, go have a nice meal with a friend. You know, I had a good time. I went to a wide range of restaurants, and you know, a lot of the kind of casual restaurants do the QR code thing. I get it. You know, there's a little laminated paper on the table. You know, you scan the code, you look at the menu on your phone. There's no paper menus. You know, you got to get those reading glasses out if you can't read your phone, that kind of thing. Others offered, if you asked for it, like sometimes you would sit down at a little bit nicer restaurant. Mm-hmm. You would see the QR code, but at a few of them, I just asked to see if they had paper menus. Because here's the thing, I also really like paper menus. There's usually like some art on them. There's like some kind of branding, like the fonts and the logos of the restaurants. And it's often can be a very creative piece of paper. I like perusing menus. In fact, I don't know what you guys do, but I actually do a process of elimination while I peruse a menu. And it's hard to do that on a small phone. You have to like move the menu like to the right and left and like see all the different corners. And it's easier to kind of do the process of elimination when I can kind of scan at one like glance, as opposed to, you know, having to go to the different corners of this, you know, this small screen. So again, you could actually ask for paper menus if they had them. But you know, my favorite experience was at like a higher end restaurant that didn't have QR codes. And we actually talked about it with the waitress. And she was so cool.
Like,
I gave her a good
tip.
And
how does that like conversation start? Like, hey, are you
I was
interested
like,
in talking
thank
about
God
QR code?
You don't have QR codes. And she's like, oh yeah, no, I hate that. We're moving from this software to this other software, and the owner's never gonna do that. You know, he's very blah, 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 and very particular about his restaurant experience. And I was like, oh, hallelujah. I had the best time talking to her because it's that rapport you have. It's that like sort of hobnobbing with like a stranger, yet someone who's trying to give you a nice experience. They want you to tip them well. They want you to enjoy the food. You
sure.
know, they come back yeah. and see how you're doing. And there's this whole routine, this sort of song and dance that I really like when I go to a restaurant. That's a huge part of why I like going out to eat. If I'm going to go just scan a QR code and order my food and pay on my phone, I'm sorry. It's not my vibe. And also I like to, when I enter a restaurant, I usually just keep my phone in my purse. I'll look at it, you know, right before I put it in there to see maybe what time it is or if anyone is trying to contact me. But I like to just put it away, take a break. you know? Yeah. And if you're doing the QR code thing, yeah, it's just your phone is always the center of attention. So, okay, here's the other thing. So what if I don't own a smartphone? Some people don't. They still have flip phones.
Or no phone.
Yeah. Or no phone. What if I left it at home because I specifically wanted to go out without a phone? What if I lost it at the last location I was coming from? You know, and I don't know if this is a case of, you know, when you were younger and you would kind of tell your parents or you'd think your parents were old because they didn't like your music, your cool music. I don't think it's the case of that where it's like, am I just getting older and like the new stuff that's coming up with the new generations is just unsavory? I don't think that's it. I think that I have a legit reasoning here. I want to know from you guys, like how you feel out there. I think it sucks. I think there's too many instructions and rules right now with everything, especially with the pandemic and just all the changes in the world. It's like enough already. Just integrate the QR code thing later. And I know part of it is because of COVID. They don't want to have these paper menus and your fingerprints and all that. But I don't know. For me, it's a tough one. Email us at hi@havesuchagoodday.com and let us know how you feel.
Indeed, indeed. Speaking of getting a hold of us, if you are not a patron, if you're listening to the show and you think, you know, I'd love to directly support these gals, well, we certainly would love to have you. Patreon.com/havesuchagoodday is where you can find out more about that. If you want to hear the show for free, all good. We would never deny you that. But if you want an ad-free show, then patreon.com is where you can find out more about that.
Yeah, and if you want a little closer connection to us little ladies, then become a patron because you can get into the inner sanctum.
Indeed.
And we talk about all the things.
So I know I always gush about our Discord. We have the best Discorders. Discorders, love you. I'm doing a little heart thing. And if you want to join the Discord, $5 or more per month would be the way to do that. And we welcome new patrons. Absolutely.
All right. So, yeah, we did get a couple emails and comments on our episode posts. One of my favorite patrons. You're all my favorite patrons, by the way. 2120 South Michigan Avenue.
We love you, 21.
They are referring to, seriously, I love when they write in. So we were talking about balls in the last episode. We were talking about curve balls and other kinds of balls.
We were talking about MLB. Okay.
Yeah, we were. But it was something, we kind of veered off into this whole like ball conversation. So anyway, he says, "Hey balls, apparently a curve ball curves away from the batter. The seams on the baseball spin clockwise. A screw ball curves in toward the batter and the baseball generally spins counterclockwise. There are books written on this craziness, as many other balls you might be thinking about or not. Love you both."
Aww. Well, we love you too.
He also mentioned, I have this thing with the 11-11. I've mentioned this before on the show and it's still happening to me where I like
always
I look laser at the focus clock on the right clock then, and it's 11-11 and it trips me out. And so he says, "Heather, 11-11 is a thing. When your LA partying stops, Google the 11-11 phenomenon. We started to notice this in 2019 and throughout the pandemic. It seemed like our clocks were there permanently. I don't go in for too much spookiness, but this definitely is more than a coincidence." So I agree with you. I remember when this popped up, and I want to say this was like in some TV show. There was some 11-11 thing, and it was some spooky TV show. I can't remember what it was exactly, but I will Google it, 2120, and write you back because you always make some good points and you make me chuckle. So thank you for writing in.
Real quick, before you go to our final email, the 11-11 thing, which I've always sort of been like, shrug it off, whatever. It's just a time of day. A friend of mine and her now ex-husband got engaged at 11-11, and it was very important to them.
Oh, interesting.
That it happened exactly at that moment.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Do I know them?
You do. Well, okay. We'll talk about it offline.
Okay.
But But yeah,
very interesting.
I know. Like, I'm always like, you guys, it's just a time of day, place.
But
actually, it does matter to people, and I get why.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings because it does happen to me a lot, and I'm always like, whoa, because it's sort of jarring seeing like the 1111, like it's just like it's a very cool looking thing, and I'm like,
sure,
again, yeah. That happened yesterday. But then you have to think, but I look at the clock more often, and maybe it's just not as striking when I see just any other random number. So part of me is like, wow, there has to be meaning to it because I'm kind of superstitious. Then the other part of me is like, ah, come on, there's no meaning to it. It's just the clock is just going and it's a coincidence, and you're looking at the clock more often than you think, but it's like stuff like that where so I'm kind of like, I feel both ways. But yeah, and then so we ended up getting an email from Henry C. and the subject line is, yes, get another dog. And this is in reference to the fact that I'm trying to sneakily adopt a dog without letting mm-hmm. my boyfriend know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe like hide him in the bathroom. So he says, Heather was talking about another dog. Second dogs are great. They keep each other company and the older one helps train the younger one. Being a Chihuahua owner myself, you will find that they are very loyal dogs. This is my current one. And he's showing pictures of them, which I wish we could show you. His name is Tater Tot.
Tater Tot.
He has a long hair. I love that. That's such a sweet, cute name. And he is so cute. The long hair Chihuahua. I totally love those guys. My second dog is a mini Dachshund named Noodles Romanov, which is really cute. Henry C. You know, Henry, I agree with you. I actually met another new dog this week. That is a type of dog that I've never really, I don't know what his mix was, but he was like a terrier, Chihuahua, and something else. But he was about 4 or 5 times bigger than Frank the dog, who's a tiny, tiny little terrier Chihuahua. And I'm not really a Chihuahua person per se, but because I ended up with this Frank the Chihuahua, I appreciate them more. They grow on you. And he's not a barky, annoying Chihuahua. He's a cool dude, and he's a good cuddler, and they love to burrow, and there's these little characteristics that
I love the burrowing.
Are so fun. So I met Pablo the dog, who's a new dog that my friend just adopted. Such a little sweetheart. He's a terrier with I think some Chihuahua and some, what are the low dogs, the corgis. There might be a little corgi in there because he's a little bit of a low rider, but so cute. He's white. And he's got these pointy ears and he's super gentle and sweet. And I just like totally fell in love with him. Anyway, so I will keep you posted on my doggy adventures.
Please
and thank you for caring.
Please do.
you gotta root for me.
Honestly, like every Monday I'm like, did Heather adopt a golden retriever today? Did Heather adopt some sort of a German shepherd? Did Heather adopt, some sort of a, doodle kind of thing? Like,
oh my God,
I know what's happening.
It's happening. Yeah. But then I have like a couple friends who are like, but then you're not going to be able to go to France for a month. What are you going to do with your dog? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm like a walking contradiction.
That's actually, pardon me. It's actually, that's a real problem. I mean,
it is.
Everyone knows I have my dog Otis. I love him so much. He is my best friend. I mean,
wait, I thought I was your best friend.
Well, you're
what
my
the
best
hell?
Friend. You're a human. He's my other best
I
friend.
Get it.
Full
I get
stop.
It. Yeah.
But like, yeah, like, I mean, every time I think about like, okay, if I have to go out of town for a couple of days, like he'll stay with my mom or, he'll go to camp or.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. Yeah, I mean, I have a friend in LA who I, spend some time with, and she's like, you don't want to get a dog. You're not going to be able to travel. You're not going to have that freedom. And it's like, but I want a dog and I want to travel too. Can't I? I don't know. Maybe I go on more road trips.
Of course. You can.
I want it all, Sarah.
It requires some logistics. That's just how it goes.
Yeah. Indeed, Sarah Lane.
Indeed. Well, listen, we're going to go ahead and wrap up episode 144 of Have Such a Good Day. Hope you all had a good time with us. We certainly had a good time with you.
We did.
And and
watch out for the wind out there, guys, gals.
Gosh, I mean, seriously, like, I need a hard hat. But but yeah, we'll be back doing it all again with episode 145 next week. Oh, hope everybody has a wonderful, wonderful day, week, month, all the things.
In the meantime, I will remain Heather.
And I will remain Sarah. Have such a good day.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.